This is Ozarks at Large. Medgar Evers is one of the most important figures in the Southern struggle with civil rights in the middle of the last century. His life is examined in the book Medgar Evers, Mississippi Martyr, published by the University of Arkansas Press. Recently, Ozarks at Large's Meredith Martin Motes talked to the author of the book, Michael Vincent Williams.
In 1963, civil rights activist and NAACP Field Secretary Medgar Evers was murdered in the driveway of his Mississippi home, shot in the back on the same evening President Kennedy gave a nationally televised speech in support of civil rights legislation. A recent book by Dr. Michael Vincent Williams, assistant professor of history at Mississippi State University, entitled Medgar Evers, Mississippi Martyr, explores Evers as both a mythic figure in the civil rights movement and as a human, a son, father, husband, neighbor, and friend. Never one to align himself with one specific strategy, as both an activist and an organizer, Evers was hard to pin down. For him, says Williams, the ultimate outcome was to get people connected.
Because for him, the biggest issue was the final product. You know, how can we get people interested? How can we get people to participate? How can we get people to tap into their inner power and then extend that outwards for uplifting not only the community in which they live in, but the larger community as a whole.
Growing up in Mississippi, Williams and his seven brothers and sisters were homeschooled, and he first heard about Medgar Evers from his mother, a man she believed deserved greater recognition in the movement.
And so as children, she would always talk about Medgar Evers, and you've got to know who he is. And, you know, he was the NAACP field secretary. He's really, really important. So I grew up with that type of idea of the person in my subconscious.
While in graduate school, a professor asked Williams what he knew about Evers and suggested he dig deeper and begin researching Evers' life.
And for me at that point, it was just really kind of kismet.
In 2005, when the National Archives made Evers' papers available for researchers, Williams began exploring the events that led up to Evers choosing a life of activism in Mississippi. It began at home, explains Williams, with his parents instilling a sense of equality despite the institutionalized racism that enveloped the South.
And so they often talked about, you know, having pride in yourself, that you are as equal as anyone else. They were a family that was pretty much independent. They engaged in a lot of different businesses. You know, they had a funeral home, you know, beauty salons, you know, store, you know, that kind of sold food and things of that nature. And so Evers grew up with this kind of cocoon of self-sufficiency. And it really had a profound impact on who he saw himself, not only as a man, but also a black man, and what was possible.
In 1952, after college graduation, Evers goes to the Delta to work as an insurance salesman, an event that changes the course of his life.
And it's really here where he gets a real taste of what black oppression looks like, what it feels like, and how it manifests itself. He sees extreme poverty. He sees individuals who are in a sharecropping system that tantamounts to chattel slavery. And he notes that anybody who spends any time in the Delta, any time at all, soon wants to do something. Right? And so the Delta really impacts him in terms of what his responsibilities are, because he sees it writ large, you know, with the people that he encounters and the kind of fear that's there and how whites in the Delta pretty much control everything with an iron fist.
Evers begins to work with the NAACP and grows increasingly uncomfortable with his middle-class job selling insurance to families mired in poverty and surrounded by violence. He begins reading more about independent African nations and movements such as the Mau-Mau Revolution, believing in the need for that kind of organized dedication, if perhaps not the violence. He partners with organizations like SNCC and CORE, and as NAACP field secretary, he begins organizing across the state, weaving in and out of the middle class, the grassroots, and everywhere in between.
The complexity of this is that Evers looks at the overall picture, and the overall picture was obtaining freedom, right? It was obtaining equality, it was obtaining everything that comes with full citizenship rights, and for him, there was no one set pattern for doing that. It was too complex an issue. It had too many moving parts. Right? And so for him, you look at what's working, and then you develop it so that it fits the environment in which you are working in. Because what's going to work in the Delta will not necessarily work in Jackson. It will not necessarily work on the Gulf. But when you start putting everything together from different organizations, from different ideas, whether it's self-defense, whether it's nonviolence, whether it's sit-ins, whatever the tactic is, if it applies, he was really good about selling it, constructing it, and reevaluating it to the point that it works for whatever area he's at.
Perhaps one of the most striking aspects of Evers' role as both an organizer and an everyday human was his dedication to his home, Mississippi. He had numerous opportunities to leave, Williams explains, and spent a great deal of time traveling to California and Chicago, for example, experiencing firsthand the opportunities available to African Americans outside the South. But rather than choosing to leave, he worked to bring those freedoms back to Mississippi. It was this concept of home, says Williams, that permeated Evers' dedication.
And if you have a problem with your home, you don't just up and leave it. You work to fix those problems. But for Evers, the epitome of who he was that he really felt to leave Mississippi would be really kind of tantamount to treason or betrayal, you know, of what he was working to accomplish. Because it was not really for himself that he wanted these things. I mean, that would be nice. But he didn't believe that ultimately he would see a lot of what he was fighting for. But it was for the future generations that he believed he could not leave Mississippi, but had to work toward changing it. And he often said that if I die in this process, you know, this is a worthy trade-off.
On June 12, 1963, Evers pulled into his driveway, returning home from a meeting on school integration. Earlier that evening, President Kennedy had given a national speech in favor of civil rights legislation. Evers walked toward his house carrying recently printed T-shirts reading, "Jim Crow Must Go."
His wife and the children are waiting up for him.
Yeah. She hears the car come in
right.
The driveway. Right?
And then their oldest child, Daryl, says, "Here comes Daddy." And then they hear the shot. Right? And so the neighbors come out, but he's laying there, and he's been shot in the back. And so this is, you know, it's blood everywhere. And his children come out, and they see their father in this state. Right, as well as his wife. But for the community at large, it really becomes a galvanizing event. You know? Because even though you had all these splits and rifts and problems that are going on in Jackson at that point, people begin to say, well, my God, if they can do this to this individual who was so committed, right, then change has got to come. Right? And so as a result of his assassination, at that point, you start getting people, everybody's working together. It also impacts the white community as well. You know, because there's this great fear now that there's going to be mass rioting, mass violence, and things are going to get out of control. And so they also begin to see that there has to be some kind of change, because political assassination at that point, kind of impacts everybody.
Williams' book is so much more than just a life history. In many ways, it's a call to action. A biography, says Williams, should remove historical figures from the shadows of abstraction, allowing modern-day readers to grasp both their humanity and their complexity, ultimately inspiring us to find our own roles in the struggle today.
No matter where you are in this country, there are problems there. I think what this book does, and what Evers does, is it really kind of puts you in the frame of mind that there is a responsibility that you as an individual have to change in the circumstances around you, whatever that may be. And so ultimately what I would like for the book to be is sort of a historical look forward. You know? And when I say that, meaning that you're looking at the past, but you understand that those problems still exist in the present. Now, how can I utilize those types of ideas, that kind of commitment, that kind of devotion to change to our present situations and our present struggles, whether it's resegregation in the school system, whether it's white flight, whether it's violence, whether it's high prison rates, whether it's HIV and AIDS, whether it's abuse, whatever those problems are, how can I work toward changing those and what kind of strategies?
Dr. Michael Vincent Williams is the author of the book Medgar Evers, Mississippi Martyr, published by the University of Arkansas Press. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Meredith Martin Motes.
Meredith Martin Motes is the editor of The Boiled Down Juice and the director of the McElroy House Organization for Folklife, Oral History, and Community Action. She's a regular contributor to Ozarks at Large.